Good afternoon. My name is Tiana Jenkins, and I am a state and local policy associate with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Center to Prevent Childhood Obesity. This is a collaborative partnership between Arkansas Center for Health Improvement and Policy Link located in California. I will be sharing my presentation time with my colleague, Dan Reimer, who is in the audience. So hopefully during the time that he's able to speak, he can give a little background information on himself as well. So today our presentation is going to talk about partnerships between municipalities and community stakeholders, and really identifying some of those non-traditional partners that can act as leverage points or resources for local policy implementation. So just to give a little frame around the presentation today, we're going to describe the process of building multi-sectorial partnerships and collaboration, look at some key examples of promising practices for improving community wellness and planning. Specifically, my role, I particularly work within the southern states, so we're going to look at some promising practices there, understanding the process of decision-making that shapes local environments and down to the neighborhood activities. Although our local and state policy strategy is comprehensive, we're only going to highlight two of our approaches that we're working on. I will talk about our big city strategy, which is inclusive of community and mayoral leadership in major cities, and looking, like I said, at some of those non-traditional partners such as funders, bringing them early on into the process. My colleague Dan Reimer will discuss the municipal league strategy and looking at a multi-state engagement, lifting up examples from Arkansas and Mississippi. So the goals of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Center to Prevent Childhood Obesity, of course, is to reduce the prevalence of overweight and obesity among children in the U.S. We have a particular interest in decreasing disparities in childhood obesity around communities of color, impoverished areas, and those that are disproportionately affected regions or isolated regions. We seek to create systematic and sustainable change. In addition to that framework, we look at contributing factors to health statuses around discrimination and racism, segregation, and cumulative stress related to creating psychological responses when living in hostile environments. So the six policy priorities that we primarily focus on is ensuring that all foods and beverages served in schools meet and exceed the most recent dietary guidelines, increase access to high-quality affordable foods through new and improved grocery stores and bodegas, using pricing strategies, both incentives and disincentives, to promote the purchase of healthier foods, and reduce youth exposure to unhealthy food marketing. Today, we're going to really emphasize two areas here within our last two policy priorities here: increasing the time, intensity, duration of physical activity during the school day and out of school programs, and increasing physical activity by improving the built environment in communities, again, at the local level. I would say when working with communities at the local level, we also used recommendations and frameworks from the IOM, CDC, and Leadership for Healthy Communities. So these are our 12 targeted states plus DC, and if you can see within these areas, the highlights here, Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, again, these are the primary states that we will be focusing on today and discussing our strategies there. And these states are, of course, prevalent with a high percentage of childhood obesity within these areas. Again, just current data on childhood obesity rates, July 2012 from the Efforts and Fat Report. Again, a high prevalence of childhood obesity here within Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Tennessee. And so we'll be focusing our discussions around that. So again, like I stated, the big city strategies are the ones that I will talk about. And we looked at these particular states within Texas, we focused on Houston. Within Louisiana, we focused on New Orleans. And with Tennessee, we focused on Memphis. And some of the considerations or reasons behind working with these particular cities, there was already funding there within those cities, whether there was CPPW funding, funding through the National League of Cities within those particular cities and states. There were key stakeholders that could leverage funding possibilities, and the political climate was ready for local policy change within those areas. And there was also our network partners really focusing within those states and within those cities within our national program offices. So some of the big city engagement milestones that we focused on were selecting communities for potential recruitment, of course looking at the risk burden, identifying a receptive policy environment, were people ready for change according to the six policy priorities, and as well as the resources available, identifying recruitment of key leaders, people who had influence, whether that was mayors, city officials, faith-based leaders, things of that nature, form groups and asset those assets that they had, educate and adopt environmental policy approaches. Were they willing to understand and adopt some of those approaches within those six policy priorities? Educating on program versus policy and little p versus big P when you look at policy implementation. Some additional big city engagement milestones were selected targeted goals and objectives and tactics, looking at those, and developing an implementation plan towards the end. So, of course, within our work, we utilize a SWOT analysis with each particular city, looking at strengths, and I'll just give some kind of overarching broad strengths that were kind of the same within some of the cities. So one of the strengths were many key players were doing awesome things within the particular cities, and they were ready for environmental change. There were strong champions there within those particular cities, and they knew that childhood obesity was a problem. Many educational opportunities were available, lots of conferences and things like that that were occurring currently in the city. Some weaknesses that we found out was that there was fragmentation on the best approach of reducing childhood obesity as a team. So a lot of city or coalitions would be over inundated with information when it came to childhood obesity and the right approach to use for their particular coalition. Some of the threats that we found in working with some of the cities and the coalitions were competitiveness and turf issues when trying to bring a very diverse pool of partners together, who would get the name credibility once something was achieved, and was the political climate ready for change. Some things that we came up against were the upcoming mayoral elections, so a change in administration as well. Opportunities that we're seeing throughout the cities that we work with in coalitions, that the stakeholders had numerous resources that they could probably link together and utilize, and lots of education on childhood obesity from a national level to a state level as well. So process for monitoring some of the progress that was made, we would look at if the group was coalescing, were they coming together? We would look at environmental policy focus, were they focused on low-hanging fruit, things that were achievable, long-term, short-term goals? Did they have a selected target? Were they particularly interested in the built environment, in-school, after-school policies, school wellness policies? Were they able to develop a tactical plan, actually putting the pen to the paper and actually coming up with a plan? Visible activities, local support, and then, of course, the policy change that would occur. Some of the big strategy outcomes that were seen, additional funding was awarded and new partnerships were developed within Houston, Memphis, and Louisiana. Each of those cities received additional funding outside of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation that came from local funders once the implementation and policy plans were developed and put in place. Louisiana, in particular, they developed a stronger partnership with the CDC, and they're currently working on their local level policy plan with their health commissioner and their mayor. There were fully engaged mayors and state commissioners and local funders, which I feel was a critical role in the big city strategy that we utilized, making sure they were, you know, engaged primarily first, and again with coalitions as well. And state and local policy plans were an outcome that was realized there. Measurable goals with objectives. And I will call my colleague up, Dan Reimer.
Thank you, Tiana. One of our colleagues wasn't able to make it, and so I'm pinch hitting Just by way of background, I'm the Deputy Director for the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation Center to Prevent Childhood Obesity, a role I took on after retiring as Director of Public Health for the City of Fort Worth in Texas. And prior to that, I was Director of Public Health for the county that surrounds Chapel Hill in North Carolina. Well, the differentiation between the big city work that Tiana described and our municipal work is that the big cities were with individual units. And the municipal strategy, we were working with entire state units. The first thing we had to figure out is how to hook the large city mayors. And we know that they're concerned about quality of life, worker productivity, and economic development. And so we had to relate the childhood obesity prevention work to that and realize that the food environment is a major quality of life factor, and it is unevenly distributed around our communities of interest, particularly low-income neighborhoods among families of color have very few in the way of fresh fruits and vegetables available to them. The built environment is also unevenly distributed, with lower-income neighborhoods having less access to safe and humane physical activity. We looked at the EFA's in fat record, and if you look at Arkansas, Louisiana, and Mississippi, you can see they still rank very high in childhood and even adult obesity. And so the strategy we set up was emanating from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation priorities that Tiana listed. Our entity is here with the four states we selected, and coincident with that, the foundation had funded Leadership for Healthy Communities to work with municipal entities and actually provided a grant to the National League of Cities with these three leagues working with us. I'm being told I've got 3 minutes left, and I'm probably not going to get through all of this. The National League of Cities launched an initiative to expand technical assistance and peer learning opportunities for municipal leaders, and this was undertaken in collaboration with the Foundation for the Mid-South, with a strong focus on increasing access to recreational activities and healthy foods. They worked together with city leaders with this technical assistance program. Now, let me just give you a quick example in Arkansas, and we'll try to cut this a little short. This is the array of entities that are working on childhood obesity prevention in Arkansas, major partners and programmatic partners. The programmatic folks work through the Arkansas Coalition for Obesity Prevention, and we do a lot of policy work through the Arkansas Center for Health Improvement, promoting statewide legislation that has improved physical activity and nutrition in schools, has required the measuring of body mass index in elementary schools across the state, reported to us. Now, the municipal link is between the National League and joint use agreements. Our state has adopted legislation that funds schools to make their facilities available for community efforts. And so we're now creating liaisons between the schools and the municipalities in our state. This is the distribution of various funded programs in Arkansas. And this is the distribution in Louisiana, where in that state, we've actually been pulling together a similar coalition to the one we have in Arkansas to focus on the built environment with an emphasis on safe streets to enhance access to physical activity, and a statewide coalition to identify a policy agenda that will improve access to healthy food in schools. This is the array of entities funded in Mississippi, and there we're working with the Municipal League to educate mayors on the best practices for policy change at the city level, for instance, healthy vending options and other procurement policies, and increasing access to healthy foods through community gardens, etc. In the interest of time, there's just similar efforts in Texas. Now, this is the array of 16 organizations that the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation has funded, either to focus on community action, developing the evidence base, and advocating. And so just a quick couple of examples. The Healthy Kids, Healthy Communities program is funding some 50 or 55 organizations at the community level to identify and research the best practices in physical activity and nutrition. The Food Marketing and Youth Project at Yale University is identifying the industrial practices that are targeting our young people, especially in low-income neighborhoods. And the National Policy and Legal Analysis Network has created boilerplate documents that enhance our ability to do joint use agreements in a number of states. In Arkansas, the Growing Healthier Communities program has created this array of outcomes that have actually been implemented at the local level. And even in schools, we've been able to see salads and fruits available every day, baked chicken on Wednesdays, baked fish on Fridays. And we've done this in collaboration with our Arkansas Minority Health Commission. So, in rapid fashion, we'll be open for questions, but we'll take those at the end of the presentations.